Father, we come to you in Jesus' name once again. We thank you for this day. This is the day that you have made. We choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Father God, our rejoicing and our joy is not dependent upon the circumstances. It is dependent upon what you've done for us. And we have joy in us. We just stir that up and we thank you. Now, Lord, impart unto us your word. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. We invite, we welcome, and we acknowledge your presence. Guide us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I've got notes, and maybe we'll get to them, and maybe we won't. We're not going off the notes right now, so turn with me to Isaiah. I get the feeling we'll get back to them. Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1. And this is the King James. It says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. So he said, arise and shine, for your light is come. Now, the light of the world is Jesus. He came into the world. He came to give us light. He came to bring us revelation of the Father. He came to die in our place. He came to rise from the dead. But we must receive him. Amen? And as such, that's your responsibility. Your responsibility is to receive him. But I'm going to tell you that he has a good plan for you. He has a good plan for you. He has a good plan for you. And the amazing thing is, he wants to show up through you to the world. It said, arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. He wants to show forth from you, which is a good thing. Which is a good thing. Now we'll get to the notes. Let's go over then to the book of Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. It was by him that everything was created. The heavens, the earth, all things within and upon them. All things seen and unseen, thrones and dominions, spiritual powers and authorities. Every detail was crafted through his design by his own hands and for his purposes. Now let me read that again, the latter part of that. Well, I'll just read the whole thing. It was by him that everything was created. The heavens, the earth, all things within and upon them, all things seen and unseen, thrones and dominions, spiritual powers and authorities. Every detail was crafted through his design, by his own hands, and for his purposes. We were made by God. And we were made for God, and we were made with a purpose. God created you and me with a purpose. I like to put it this way. You were created on purpose and for purpose. You are not an accident. And God created you with purpose. God designed each and every one of us with purpose and design. Again, crafted through his design for his own hands, or by his own hands, and for his purposes. So, God designed each and every one of us with purpose. We are his design. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling. What is the calling? It is your God-given destiny. It is your God-given design. It is, I'm going to use a word, and I will say this again later. I'll emphasize this. It is your God-given work. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of your calling, the work that God has created you for, with which you were called. He created you to work. You realize that? We talk about waiting to get to retirement age so we don't have to work anymore. Work is not a nasty word. Work is not a bad word. Work is not a dirty word. God created us for work. And you're going to find out as we go on that work is not necessarily what we think of. There's a difference between a job and work. Now, we think of them as being exactly the same thing, but they're not. Work is what you were designed by God for. A job is what we do to make money and to get by. And most of us really don't like our job. I am a massive exception to that. I love what I do. I shouldn't say most of us don't like our job, but a lot of people don't. But your work, that is what God created you for. That is the design. Put that first verse up again for me, Caleb. It was by Him that everything was created, the heavens, the earth, all things within and upon them, all things seen and unseen, thrones and dominions, spiritual powers and authorities. Every detail was crafted through His design by His own hands and for His purposes. God created you for His purpose. He's put things into you. He has created you in such a way where you have a contentment and a satisfaction when you are doing what He created you to do. And there's nothing quite like it. There's nothing quite like it. So, you have a calling, that God-given work that God has called you to, and in that position, I like to talk about it in some very simplistic terms. You've heard me use this terminology before. Square peg, square hole. Round peg, round hole. What does that have to do with anything? Well, a round peg doesn't fit into a square hole. And a triangular peg doesn't fit into a round hole. You need to fit where God created you to fit. And you need to be what He created you to be. We were created with purpose, and there is contentment in that call. You were designed by God Himself and designed with a purpose. Finding that purpose is so important. Now, any of you ever seen any kind of earth-moving equipment? I know Scott has. He's probably worked with a lot of it, and we have different ones that have. And we have earth-moving equipment. Now, my dad, when I was a child, he worked for a company that made tremendous earth-moving equipment. He worked for Caterpillar. He actually worked in Peoria at one point, and then he worked in Joliet. And they make some of the premier earth-moving equipment in the world. And there's a whole lot of different kinds of earth-moving equipment. Anybody ever seen a bulldozer? I've seen bulldozers. Backhoes, dump trucks, graders, front loaders, excavators, pavers, rollers. There's all kinds of earth-moving equipment. It's all designed with a purpose. But it's earth-moving equipment. It's stuff that they use to make roads and to level places, to even put up massive buildings. You realize that with when you're putting up a big building, you need to have a good foundation, right? And in order to have a good foundation, sometimes you need to pack things down. Well, you need the right equipment for that. In order to do that, you may use a grader and grade some areas. You may use a bulldozer and move some stuff. But you're probably going to need a roller to pack things down. And did you realize that there are different kinds of rollers? There are rollers that you know, that they've got one on the front and one on the back. They've got some that have two wheels on the back and one roller on the front. They also have some that are made specifically to pack things down. They actually kind of vibrate. And what they do, if you've ever seen anything where you tamp it, you know, you've got a piece of, well, they actually have things that you can use to tamp things down. That's exactly what these rollers will do. As it goes across, it actually vibrates, which means that if you've got sand underneath, if you've got rock underneath, if you've got all these different types of ground, what it does is it packs it down. Then they'll put more on top and they'll pack it down. Then they'll put more on top and they'll pack it down. But guess what? You need the right equipment for the right job. You need the right equipment for the right job. Now, I think most of us have seen a bulldozer. I think bulldozers are cool. You know, there are small ones, and then there are some of them that are so massive it's unbelievable how big they are. And but you realize the right equipment for the right job is really important. And you can use a bulldozer as a delivery vehicle. It'll get things from place to place. You know, you may have some papers that need to be delivered to the office. Well, if that office is 10 miles away, you do not want to take a bulldozer to take those papers to the office. But guess what? It will work. It just wasn't designed for that. It was designed to move things. You realize a bulldozer can crush boulders. I mean, they're a powerful, powerful thing. But you need the right equipment for the right job. You can take a delivery van and you can haul dirt in it. You can haul gravel in it to the work site. And you can get it there. It'll work. But first of all, it's going to take a whole lot of toil with a whole lot of shovels putting a whole lot of stuff in that van. You may break the springs on it. You may have all kinds of problems. If you put enough in it, it ain't going to move. But you may get it just to where it'll take the stuff and you can get it there. But it's a whole lot harder. You're going to have shovels. You're going to have to put it in with. You're going to have shovels to get it out with. But it'll work. You can move dirt. You can move rock with a moving van. But that moving van was not designed to do that. That moving van was designed to have other things carried in it. But the rock and the dirt and those kind of things, they were really, you've got other equipment that you should use for that. You've got a dump truck. You've got loaders that will load that, and it will be a whole lot easier and a whole lot quicker, and it will work a whole lot better when you have the right equipment for the right job. You don't want to use the wrong equipment for the work. Now, again, it'll work. You can use a moving van to take rock. But it wasn't designed for that. Now, Caleb put the very first... Oh, you've still got it up. Good. It was by him that everything was created, the heavens, the earth, all things within upon them, all things within and upon them, all things seen and unseen, thrones and dominions, spiritual powers and authorities, every detail was crafted through his design. Every detail was crafted through his design by his own hands and for his purposes. So there is a purpose and there is a design. And there are certain people who were designed to do certain things. And you want to find what you were designed to do. And you want to do that. And when you do, it's not like trying to move rock and dirt in a moving van, because that's going to be a lot of work. Now, I know Scott works for the city of Neoga, And I know he has probably taken pickup trucks and had things that he's had to shovel out of the back of them. That's a lot of work. That's a lot of work. But you can do it. But when you've got the right equipment for the right job, things work a whole lot better. You were designed by God Himself for His purposes. And the work that He created you to do, there is nothing quite like being where He wants you to be, doing what He wants you to do. Again, work is not a bad word. Work is a good word. You were created and designed by God for work. You were not created to not do anything. You really weren't. And all throughout creation, even the born-again believer, we're not going to be sitting back with our mouths open having angels feeding us with grapes. That's not what eternity is going to be like. We will have work. But it's not going to be toil. It's not going to be struggle. In this life, we have work. And it shouldn't be toil and struggle all the time. I'm not saying you won't have a few times where you sweat. Dear Lord, I sweat working here at the church sometimes, especially when we don't have the air conditioning on in the summer. It can get pretty warm in here. And you see these lights? I put the bulbs up there in those. The higher you get, the warmer it gets too. So I sweat sometimes, but it is the work that God has given me. Now then, let's move on. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And it says here, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. We'll break this verse down and we're going to talk about it because this is going to be our primary Scripture that we're going to hover around for the rest of the service. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. It is profitable for correction. It is profitable for reproof, for correction. And it is profitable for instruction in righteousness, then going on into verse 17, that the man of God may be complete, that he may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Do you want to be at the point where you are complete, where you are thoroughly equipped? I want to be at the point where I am complete, where I am equipped. And he uses the word that I said is not a bad word. It is not a dirty word. It is the word work. Where we are complete. And we are thoroughly equipped for every good work. When it says complete in the King James, it says the word perfect. Complete's better. When we think of perfect, we think of Jesus. But this means, really, the word itself means having all the parts and those parts functioning as they were designed to fulfill the purpose of the whole. Let me repeat that. Having all the parts. In other words, you're not missing anything. You're not missing anything. You're not missing anything. Having all the parts and those parts functioning as they were designed by God to fulfill the purpose of the whole. So I want to be complete. I want to have every part. And the way that this is going to happen, he talks about here, is through the Word of God. But he talks about us doing the work where we are complete and we are thoroughly equipped. Now, when you look at this in the original language, the word complete, again, it meant having all the parts, but then it talks about thoroughly equipped. That actually is the same word with a compound word that goes together with it. And what it comes down to is having all the parts and then having all those parts functional. So you can have all the parts, but them not be functional. He's talking about having all the parts and having them functional in your life. How is it going to happen? all Scripture, the Word of God, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for all four of these things. So when we understand this, he says the Word of God will equip you. The Word of God will give you everything you need, and the Word of God will help you to have every part function as it was designed to function. But if you're not in the Word of God, you're not going to get that. Again, let's go back to that same verse again and just back it up to verse 16 there in New King James. Yeah. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. When it says by inspiration of God, it means that God breathed it out. So we need to understand what this is talking about is God breathed it out. He is intertwined with His Word. When it talks about God breathed, it really is talking about the Spirit. It can be translated when it talks about breath as Spirit. The same word can be translated as wind, as Spirit, or as breath. So when it is God breathed, it is the Spirit of God in the Word of God. You want to learn to operate with God, learn to operate with His Word because He is in the Word. He didn't just give you some words, He gave you of Himself in those words. And those words are so powerful that He will bring to pass what He says in those words. So, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is God-breathed, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped to do what God has created you to do for your work. You were created for this. You were created for this. You were equipped by the Word of God for the work of God. This is not just Him forcing you to do something. He is not a hard taskmaster. This is what I cannot quite express in articulate language as I would like to. You were created with purpose, and when you fulfill that purpose, there is greater contentment than doing anything else. There is greater contentment than in doing anything else. A singer sings, not because necessarily they make money, but they just love to sing. It's in them. A builder builds. An artist draws or paints or sculpts, not because necessarily they're going to make any money with it. It's in them. It's who they are. And what you are, God has created. And when we find that position that He has made you for, there's no greater contentment than being where He wants you to be. So then, let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 17 out of the Passion Translation. Then you will be God's servant, fully mature and perfectly prepared to fulfill any assignment God gives you. You will be fully mature and perfectly prepared to fulfill any assignment God gives you. Then put up the Phillips translation. The Scriptures are the comprehensive equipment of the man of God. Now, get this out of your head that this is talking about merely the minister. It's not. He's talking about any human being who belongs to God and God is his. He's born again. The Scriptures are the comprehensive equipment of the man of God, the person of God, and fitted him fully for all the branches of his work. I can't express it any better. The Scriptures do this for you. The Scriptures do this for you. So, we are equipped by the Word of God. We are equipped by the Word of God. The Word of God equips us for power, for revelation, for persuasion, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, which simply means we are trained by discipline to righteous living, righteous speaking, interaction with other people, both the believer and the unbeliever. So we are equipped by the Word of God for this. We are equipped by the Word of God for this. The Word of God has within it everything we need and for you to learn to operate in power, because the Word of God has power in it. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. That's the word soteria. It means salvation. It means deliverance. It means health, healing, wholeness. It means whatever you need. So God's word has power within it for whatever you need to everyone that believes. The word has power in it, but you must believe it. So it has power to deliver you. It has power to set you free. But how do we get a hold of it? Well, we believe it. You get into the Word of God. You're not going to walk in power unless you're in the Word of God. You're not going to walk in your call unless you are in the Word of God. Some people get in the right call, and one way that they do that is by their giftings. And that's the greatest way for you to discover your call is your giftings. And you'll kind of get in the right arena, but you will not function at the level that God has for you to function at. You'll be at a much lower level. You may be in the right arena. You may be in the right call, but you're not going to function in the power of God unless you're in the Word of God. So you can discover your calling to some degree by looking at your abilities, your talents, your giftedness. And when you look at that, it'll kind of get you in the right arena. Then you spend time with God in His presence, and He'll reveal to you not only the right arena, not only the right area, but He'll reveal to you the specific place. I equate it to being in the right company, being in the right, you know, like Caterpillar or like, you know, some bank, PNC Bank, being in the right company. And then being in the right city. And then being in the right department. And then not only being in the right department, but being at the right level in that department. And then not only being in the right level, but in the right group within that department. And then not only being in the right group, but being at the exact right desk. And that's where your work is. You discover that by finding your giftings, your talents, your abilities, praying to God, and He will reveal those things, and then obeying Him. Because there is going to be the opportunity to go elsewhere. God's call, there's always something that's going to try and take you somewhere else. Because the enemy does not want you being in God's call, because you will be effective where he wants you to be. And the devil does not want that. So, equipped by the Word of God for power. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because the gospel, the Word of God, is God's very own power. So I get into the Word, and He reveals to me, He shows me where I'm supposed to be, and equips me to do the work that He's called me to with power. Am I making sense? Okay. I don't want to be circling a drain here. So, we are equipped by the Word of God for power. We are equipped by the Word of God for revelation. We're equipped by the Word of God for revelation. Now, again, where it talked about all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, that means teaching. And when it means teaching, it means He's going to bring you revelation. So the Word of God will bring you revelation you get nowhere else, no other way. You're going to find out that when you get in the Word of God, it will take your thinking upward to a higher level. You may not understand everything at first. You're not going to. But God is going to give you revelation. Psalm 119, verse 130. Psalm 119, verse 130. The entrance of your words gives light. In other words, it gives revelation. It gives understanding to the simple. And then we've got that in another translation. And it says here, your instructions, your word, your instructions are a doorway through which light shines. He brings you revelation through His word. They give insight to the untrained. It will train you. The word of God will train you. So, it gives revelation. It also brings persuasion. You get into the Word of God and you're going to find out that there were things that you said, well, I'm just not sure about this. You get into the Word of God and it will persuade you. It will bring a convincedness just simply from being in God's Word. You can believe. Oftentimes people say, I can't believe. That's just not true. You can believe. It's built into the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That word evidence, the first part of it, faith is the substance. It is, faith is the title deed to things you hope for, and it is the evidence. That word literally means persuasion or convincedness. Now, don't look up convincedness. You will not find it. That's an Earlism. But it is persuasion. It is the exact same word that our principal primary scripture uses in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, where it said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. That is a poor translation. It's the exact same word as used here, and it means convincedness, persuasion. That's what it means. It's built into the Word. And you get into the Word, you say, well, I can't believe it. I'm going to tell you, if you can't believe it, you're not in the Word. Because if you get into the Word, it will automatically bring to you the ability to believe. It is the most amazing concept about the Word of God that so many people have no idea about, and there is very little teaching on. All you do is get into the Word, and in the Word is the ability to believe. It empowers you to believe. It's built in. If you'll get into the Word, you can believe. The Word of God will also bring correction. It will bring correction or a writing of your path. It will bring to you the ability to make adjustments because you see properly. And we see this in a couple of verses in the book of Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs 1 verse 7. Fear the Lord. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge. The old King James says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I really like this, the foundation of knowledge. It is, and when you look it up, it means the principal part, the weightiest part, and the beginning. So it is the onset, and it is the most important thing for knowledge, the fear of the Lord. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. They don't like to be disciplined. They don't like to be told there needs to be an adjustment here. But you get into the Word of God, and He will make those adjustments. And then in the 23rd verse of this same chapter, He says here, be turned again by my sharp words. Sometimes God's word will be sharp. Now, sharp is not bad. There are times when He needs to be sharp with me. Anybody in the room besides me like cheese? I love cheese. It's like one of my favorite foods. We've gone on certain diets. We went on an extremely low-calorie diet. You can tell by looking at me, I'm not on that right now. And we were on this 500 calorie a day diet, which is almost nothing. And one of the things that we missed more than anything else was cheese. Found out I really like cheese. I knew I liked cheese before. And you know what one of my favorite types of cheese is? It's cheddar. And you want to know what my favorite type of cheddar is? Extra sharp. I like extra sharp. My wife puts it this way, it like squeaks on your teeth. I like sharp cheese. I like God's sharp word. When he corrects me, be turned again by my sharp words. If he has to be sharp with me, so be it. Why? I will send the flow of my spirit on you and make my words clear to you. When will he do that? When we are turned. Again, the old King James says, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. When we turn at his reproof, when we are turned by his sharp words, he pours out his spirit unto us and he makes known his words unto us so that we can make adjustments. It will correct me. There are things in my life that need corrected, and that's okay. Guess what? I'm not God. I know you think I am. I know you think I'm perfect. But I'm not. But he is. And when he corrects me, the word of the Lord is right. It's actually a scripture. And all of his works are done in truth. So when he corrects me, oh, it is a beautiful thing. And then, again, equipped by the word. Equipped with power and to work in power. Equipped with revelation and to work with revelation. Equipped with persuasion so that I may believe. Equipped with correction that I may turn. And equipped with instruction in righteousness. Instruction in righteousness. Now, when you look at this, the word instruction that I'm looking at there, it has to do... There are two different words which have much similarities in them, and there's some real overlap within them, but there is a difference, and one of these words that I'm looking at is that, and it is the word instruction or training. Instruction or training. And it really means instruction through vexations. Now, we don't like to hear that because vexations has to do with pain, has to do with something not being comfortable for me. But that's what this means. Instruction through vexations to take me to righteousness. I'm not saying God brings sickness and disease. That's not it at all. We've been redeemed from that. I want to look at this in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 8 through 10. And then I'll wrap it up. Here he says, even if my letter made you sorrowful. Now, Paul has written to the people at Corinth. He wrote 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, and there's a whole lot of correction in both of those. And he's saying, when I wrote to you my first letter, he says, even if my letter made you sorrowful, that's what he's talking about, was the 1 Corinthians. I don't regret sending it, even though I felt awful for a moment when I heard how it grieved you. Remember, training through vexations, instruction through vexations. For the moment, you know, I felt awful for the moment when I heard how it grieved you. Now I'm overjoyed. Now I'm overjoyed. Not because you were made sad, but because your grief led you to deep repentance. See, there was correction that took place, but that correction was responded to properly. It led you to deep repentance. You experienced godly sorrow, and as God intended, it brought about gain for you. Not loss, so that no harm has been done to you. God designed us to feel remorse over sin in order to produce repentance that leads to victory. This leaves us with no regrets. But the sorrow of the world works death. Training or instruction by vexations, it will cause your flesh problems. Because your flesh is going to say, they treated me bad, I have every right to treat them bad. Your flesh is going to say, I don't really like them, so I don't need to pray for them. Your flesh is going to say just the opposite of what God says. But when the Word of God comes, it is training you so that you repent of those things, so that you respond as He would have you to respond. And what is this doing? It is bringing us to a point. I'm talking to the body of Christ. It is bringing us to a point of righteousness. I'm not talking about just our standing with God. I'm talking about our interaction with people. I'm talking about our life being lived in such a manner where that life is seen by others. Not that I'm trying to impress anybody, but that my life will be something that God can say, I'm pleased with them, and draw people through my life. I had a guy that I worked with many years ago now. It was right before I went to Bible school. I worked my first full-time job, I worked from 1982 through 1991. And I worked at an auto dealership in Winchester, Illinois, small town of about 1,700 people. The whole dealership had about 35 people in it, and I worked in the parts department there. And I was a Christian. I'd gotten born again in 1980, so I got born again previous to this. And I was learning to walk with God. And when I got ready to leave, we were getting... they actually threw me a going-away party, and the guy who owned the dealership, he had a house there in town, he had a pool, and a lovely place, and so they threw a party for me at his pool, and so everybody, you know, that worked at the dealership was there. Well, a few days before I left, one of the guys from the body shop came to me, and he said, can I talk to you? And I said, sure. And so he came into the parts department, sat down with me, and he began talking with me about the reality that he saw something different. He didn't necessarily put it in those words. And it had not, because I made hundreds, yea, thousands of mistakes while I worked there. I mean, a lot of mistakes. But I was being trained. And God used me, and this guy sat down and talked with me before I left. And it was good. It was good. God is training you so that your life can be a life lived righteously. Again, who we are on the inside is righteous. That's who we are as believers. But He wants us to walk this out. He wants us to live righteously. And so we should be trained to the degree that we live this righteous life. And the only way that's going to happen is you're in the Word. It will train you to repent. It will train you with vexations to where it rubs you the wrong way in your flesh, but your spirit says, yes, sir, I know, and I will repent. The Word of God is the most beautiful thing. There are lots of different translations. I've had people ask me, what translation do you use? Well, as you can see, a lot of them. I study largely out of the King James, But the King James isn't right on everything. I use the New American Standard a lot, but it's not necessarily, there are some translations I would never suggest for you. There are some of them that are so far off it's not funny. But there are some really good translations out there. But what I'm talking about is the Word of God, period. It is precious. People died that we may have it in the English language. And I love it. It says, and I'll wrap up here, in Psalm 119, longest chapter in the Bible, there's 176 verses in that chapter, Psalm 119, verse 140, it says, "Thy word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth it." And I put it this way, "Thy word, O Lord, is very pure. Therefore, I, your servant, love it." And you get to the point you love His Word, it will bring you through. It will empower you with power. It will bring you revelation. It will bring you persuasion. It will bring you correction. It will bring you through training, through vexations, to a point of living righteously. But you cannot get away from the Word. Now, we are a Word and Spirit church. We follow the Holy Ghost. You have the Word without the Spirit, you're going to get extremely dry. You have the Spirit without the Word, you're going to get extremely flaky. Not that the Holy Spirit gets flaky, but you will. The Word will keep you grounded. The Spirit will keep you fresh. So we need to be listening to Him. And as you read the Word of God, He will be the one who instructs you. But I'm telling you, the Word is so precious. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is God-breathed. The Spirit is in the Word. So you get into the Word, you don't make it legalistic, the Holy Spirit's going to guide you. He's going to guide you. A little different today. I can go on and on and on. The Word of God is so powerful. In the beginning, God spoke and created. He holds all things together by the Word of His power, and He will not break His Word. If we will agree with Him, we can see what He said come to pass. I'm going to go ahead and close with a word of prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before You, Almighty God, and we give reverence to You. We ask of You that You would reveal Yourself to us more and more. Even as we look up at the sky, it says there in Romans chapter 1 that You've left testimony even in creation. And I pray that we would come to a point, even with looking at the sky, of recognizing You. As we walk through everyday life, I pray that we would take You with us. And Holy Spirit, I pray that You would direct, that You would protect, and that You would correct us. Oh, how we love You. Now speak to the hearts of the people. Fill them up with the knowledge of Your will. And take them where You want them to go. Guard them, guide them, lead them, and love on them mightily today, I pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. God bless you.